I know that I always make the kids say something on Wednesday nights, and but the word is very important to me. I know that in a lot of things we use these, and we've got away from scripture and stuff. But you can ask the teens, to me, how important the word is. Because the first week that I come in here, what I offer to you if you bring your Bible some weeks? Money. You hear them say money? Yeah, money. So, you know, I do that every once in a while. I've spoke at some. I'm not a preacher, and I'd like to share the gospel, though, because it's something I've been brought up with all my life. But I'll tell you this, that I've been to conferences where I've spoke with teens and stuff, and there'd be 100 teens, and I'd have money in my pocket, and I'd say, everybody hold up your Bible, and there'd be like 3 people in there that have their Bibles, and I may have $300 on me, you know, not knowing who's going to get it. Well, they'd all get $100 a piece or something, you know, and they'd be like, oh man, you know, I was the greatest youth pastor they ever known at that point in time. But for the others, you can ask my daughters, how much money have they ever received from me? None. Right? So they'll carry their Bibles and stuff, and I kind of, but to me, it's important that they have the word. You know, every week that we come in here, every week that we're using our word, that's what they have to battle with one day. This is what we have to battle with. You know, this is the only thing that gets us through sometimes is the word of God, knowing what the word of God is. And I think that we've got away from it. And without the word of God, I don't know what I would do. You know, there's a lot of times and a lot of trials and a lot of, you know, things that I've went through that I didn't have friends to be there for me, you know, and I needed the word of God to stand there beside me. And so today I've kind of entitled this message, the moment that changed your life. You know, every one of us can sit back and think about that moment. And that hopefully there is a moment. You know, for me, I was brought in a small town, Northeast Arkansas. It was a farm community. You know, every Sunday, Wednesday, no matter what, I was brought up, I was going to church. No, there wasn't missing nothing. You didn't, you know, I was a big sports fanatic fan. You know, my parents was very just like hardcore, you're not doing nothing, you're going to church, you know. And even though I was frustrated with them a lot of times, you know, a moment that changed my life, you know, there was a couple grocery stores in town, and my dad was friends with one of the owners, and his name was Jerry Rorix, and he'd got in some trouble and actually went to prison for embezzlement for a little bit. But he had a son that was around my brother's age, and his name was Stephen. And he lived with us for a couple years, and during this process, about 6 months after his dad got back, his dad was pretty wealthy. He always kept Corvette. Every year he bought a new Corvette, and that was his thing. He loved to drive Corvettes, and nothing against it if you like them. It's just he was going to own one. And so about 6 months after the process of him getting out, he had his oldest son that was 19 years old. His name was Randy. He took the car one night, very late at night, and had a wreck and got killed. 9 months from that date, Stephen, the one that lived with us for several months, did the same thing. His dad purchased another Corvette, and within a mile of where his brother was killed, Stephen was driving extremely fast and flipped it and was killed also. So this was a process to me. I started questioning and asking, you know, why and what, and did he go to heaven? You know, that was a kid, as a child, that was something that, you know, stood out. And, you know, until I looked, but went into that funeral home. Any of y'all remember the first time you ever went in? That was the first time I'd ever experienced it. And looking in there and seeing someone that you cared about that was dead. And so for me, it was the moment that I started questioning, you know, what happens? What do you do? What is after this? And you know, a man named Randall Coleman was a farmer there, and I was asking him, and he went to a little old nursery that was in the back of the church, and he sat down with me and showed me scriptures. He didn't tell me how. He didn't say a prayer. He sat down and walked through Romans and showed me what Jesus did for me and the reason why we have that faith that we have today And that's where I accepted Jesus Christ. So there's moments when you're touched, you're never the same again. I mean, when Jesus touches you and you accept Him as your Savior, you can't be the same again. And today I want us to look at a story in Scripture where a man was changed. And it's, to me, it's a very powerful story. It's in Mark. If you have your word with you today, it'll be in Mark chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 1 and we'll read through Scriptures. And we'll just talk a little bit about what this story should mean. And, kind of relate it to our everyday lives. So if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here we go. It said, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying at was so packed with visitors that there was no more room. Even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on the mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This blaspheming, only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? It is easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for the word that you've presented, the word that you have given us, dear Lord. But Father, I just ask for you to be the one that speak right now, dear Lord, that you remove me and all they hear is you. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want us to look at this story because to me, there's some things that really stand out in this story that is just amazing. First of all, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news had spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was packed with visitors, that there was no more room, even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them. Now this Jesus has come back. Right? He's done amazing things. We know that obviously that he's on his journey. He's during this 3-year period where Jesus is traveling and preaching and healing. And he's came back to town. And everybody has heard this. Now, how long does it take something to spread? How long does it take something to spread in this town? I've been, and it don't matter what town you're in. You can go to Hot Springs, you can go to Little Rock, it don't matter. It just takes about an extra day, and it's around, right? News spreads. When something good happens or something bad happens, news spreads. How quick did the news spread this week that something bad was going on, right? You know, this is the thing is news spreads. If something's great is happening, the news is spread. When you first gave your life to Christ, what was the first thing you wanted to do? You wanted to spread the news. You wanted to tell somebody what had happened. See, something good happens to you, you want to tell somebody. Hey guys, I know we're in hunting country, so when deer season rolls around, you setting up in a stand, you bust a big old buck, what's the first thing you want to do? You ain't even got down to the tree yet, and we got phones going, I got 100 likes, guys. You ain't even got down there to selfie with it yet, right? I mean, news spreads quick. And back then, I know they didn't have phones and stuff, but news spread. You know, they knew that Jesus was, somebody was doing something that was out of the ordinary. Things were happening, right? I mean, this is what was going on. And so he came to town, and I believe right here, and when we go on to verse 3, I'll read it real quick. It says, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. So before we even get to this scripture, these young men had heard about Jesus. They knew that something was going on, right? They had heard something about this man called Jesus and what he was doing. And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, they wouldn't just hanging around and they wouldn't just like, hey, waiting for something. That one guy recognized. I want us to notice that. It takes somebody recognizing the need. Somebody has to recognize the need. And they recognized the need. These were friends of this boy. And they recognized the need that, hey, if this is true, if this is what I hear of this Jesus is what he's doing, we have got to get Bo down there to Jesus. You know, we have got to get him there. You know, so I believe without a shadow of a doubt, and I'm kind of a visual light person, so when I read scriptures, I start visualizing things in my own time. So, you know, y'all have to excuse me, but like I said, I want to picture it. You know, when Jesus is sitting in that room teaching to those people, I want to visualize Jesus sitting there with them young men and women sitting there talking. But these guys, I believe one was walking through the streets and said, somebody say Jesus is in town? Dude, I heard about Jesus. Dude, Bo is crippled. He's been crippled all of his life. He's going to Bo. He runs to Bo and his other friends are sitting there. And he's like, hey, y'all guys, we got to get Jesus. We got to load him up. We got to get him. They're like, do you know how big Bo is? You know, Bo's sitting there like me or Ray. That dude's bumping 270, 280. They're thinking, we ain't carrying Bo, right? He's like, what is this guy? And then there's this other friend's like, we can do it. We can do it. You know, this Bo, it depends on us to get Bo to Jesus. And the other guys are feeling it. You know, they're like, okay, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can tie. So whatever we got to do, we're gonna get him to Jesus. And I believe that this was the story that these boys were like, we're gonna do it. We got to get him to Jesus. If there's a chance that our friend can be healed, we're gonna get him there. Whatever it takes, we're gonna get him there. And it says they carried a paralyzed man on a mat, and it says they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. We'll stop right there. So they get to the house. They carry. They've already worked their tails off. We don't know how far it was. We just know that back then we probably wouldn't want them to live. You know, it was probably a pretty good journey. They carried their buddy. They got there. And then what happens? They can't even get him in to Jesus. They can't get through the door because of everybody in there and everybody out the door was sitting there. Now, I believe this can be us in our lives a lot of times, even in the church, that even when they got there, there was people outside the door, right? And they see people seeing them carry a paralyzed guy and them not moving out of the way. For them to let Jesus don't want to be bothered with that. Jesus don't want to be bothered with those people. How many times have we walked down the streets or something and seen somebody that we just like, I don't want to bother my time with them. There's so much of our lives that we have of our neighbors that are the same way. We recognize the need, but we don't carry through with what God wants us to do. And so they bring him to the house and it's packed, right? A lot of times, this is the part where we can get very discouraged. But part of the second thing that I'd put down is says you react to it. These men reacted to what God had called them to do. I mean, they were feeling their need to carry this man to Jesus. So they recognized, they reacted, they brought the man to Jesus in verse 3. And then verse 4, we'll continue reading. It says there, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head, above Jesus' head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. This is the thing about it, is it's so easy for us to get discouraged. How many times have you, and I know everyone here, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, God gave you a vision to do something. You felt like, I'm going to do something. I'm going to change somebody. God has laid this on my heart, right? And so many times it's so easy for us to get discouraged. I can tell you guys, it can be easy for me to get discouraged sometimes. I tell you that I was raised in church, right, all my life. I was brought to church. You know, there was no skipping church. And then when we got in high school, we moved to Hot Springs, and my family got out of church. And for me, I still went to church on a regular basis. And I tell the teens this, I said, it might have been a girl that kept me in church, but I was at church. And through the processes of that, you know, over years and years, I surrendered to the ministry. Felt like God was calling me into the youth ministry. And I can tell you right now that my parents have never once come and listened to me speak. They've never congratulated me. They've never said, hey, we love you. You know, I've been told that you'll never know the scripture like your mother. It's easy that you could get discouraged. But see, I don't follow a mom or dad or a friend. I follow a Jesus Christ that loves me. And for us, we can't get discouraged because God's called every one of us to a purpose in His life. He's called us to do something. And this purpose for these young men were to get this boy in front of Jesus. And they were going to do whatever it took to get him there. And it says, what'd they do? They dug through the roof. I don't know about y'all guys, but they didn't have chainsaws. I mean, they didn't have the necessary tools. I mean, we know that they probably back then had stairs that went up to the roof, because most houses back in those days may have had stairs. Because I always wondered, how did they get that dude up there? You know, how did they get me up there on that roof? They really had some passion, right? But persistence is number 3. They were very persistent. No matter what, when they got them there, they could have gave up. But I think really in their mind, they were thinking, oh, Bo, he's a big old dude, right? Man, if God don't heal him, we're going to have to carry him back. We have got to get him to Jesus. And so they were like, we're here. You know, we got to do whatever it takes. Let's get him on the roof. If we get him up on the roof, we get a little hole, we can push him through the roof. But no, it says Jesus, he says, they opened up the roof and they lowered him down. And the persistence of these guys are awesome. It says they wanted, they had something they knew that Jesus was going to take care of him. And said, seeing their faith, Jesus said to them, paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is a loving God, you know. And sometimes He just, you know, He puts obstacles in our way to see if we're going to rely on Him. Sometimes I really think that God does things so we have to turn to Him. You know, as a nation, we know what's going on right now. And I really believe that sometimes God says, hey, this is so I can hear from you. You know, our whole purpose in life from the beginning to the end is Jesus, a relationship with Him. And He wants us to have that relationship with Him, but sometimes He don't hear from His children. And I believe that, you know, when we panic and we don't have nowhere else to go and we don't know anybody else to turn to, all we have is Jesus. And we need to turn to Him. And so you know, this is where we're at. And it says, but some of the teachers in religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and take up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth and in heaven, or earth, to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, this is what's awesome. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. See, God, He wants us to rely on Him. And then when you've been touched by Him, you're never the same. I mean, the thing about it is in our Christian walk, I believe that we don't see stuff like this because we don't have the faith. I mean, when you've seen Jesus do some amazing things, and I'm not getting all crazy or anything, but God, some of us have seen God do some amazing things. And when you see that, you want more. You're like, man, I am not believing what is going on here. You want more. And when we see this, God wants to give us more as Christians. God wants us to see. When Scripture was done, it didn't mean He was done. He wants us to experience these things. God has put us here to have the faith to notice and to accept and to receive the blessings that He has in Scripture. Guys, I've seen some horrible wrecks in my life. I traveled back and forth to Little Rock for 20 years, and Greg has too, and I've seen some diesels, and I've seen some things happen, and I'm thinking, how does anybody walk out of that alive? Because of God. And He allows you in those moments to experience things like that to build your faith. And so, I mean, I know all y'all born rich. Not, right? So I mean, how many of y'all have got home and somehow you're like, I don't know how I'm going to pay my house payment. And somehow there'd be a check because you've paid too much on something or something. You're like, where'd this come from? You know, it's because God's taking care of His people. And He wants you to have those little things so to build your faith so you can experience the big things in our lives. This is where we get to celebrate. And as Christians, we should celebrate. It says, and the man jumped up and grabbed the mat and walked through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Hey, there's going to be one day when we're not going to ever see anything like that before until when we get to be with Jesus. And this is the thing is, guys, is He wants to give, He wants us to experience a little bit of it here on earth. They were stunned. And that's what Jesus is to do. He is supposed to stun us to make us appreciate Him and to really... Guys, I mean, I've been raised in sports and athletics all my life. And in my church, we didn't clap, we didn't raise hands. Hey, I can tell you right now, God wants us to praise Him. And guys, it's no greater feeling than to know that how much He does love you. He's with us today. He wants us to turn to Him when we leave here this week. He's going to take care of His people. And I want y'all to know that He loves you. And guys, this week, as Bob comes up, he's going to play. In the Scripture, when you've looked at it, when something has happened, what did the people in the Scripture do? They built an altar and prayed. They built the altar and went to. They prayed. They were going to the Lord in prayer. Hey, guys, that's what He wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to turn to Him. And guys, that's what we're here for as a body of Christ. No different than these four young men. We have got to be together. We have got to work together to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's somebody that you're going to be around this week that needs to go to Jesus. Are you going to take them to Jesus? Are you going to share Jesus with someone this week? If you'll come, and we're going to have a moment. If it's just to come up here and pray, guys, this is what the altars are for. To go to the Lord when we don't know, have an answer. Sometimes we think, hey, we got, there's something wrong with them people. They've got some issues. That's why they're going. No, the altar, that's what it's for. For us to turn to the Lord and say, hey. So if you feel like you need to pray, or maybe you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, that's what we're here for too. But more than anything, just to worship Him. I want to thank everyone for being here today. In spite of everything that's going on, no greater place to be than in the house of the Lord, I think. So, also, remember Bill and Julie as they travel. Y'all just pray for them. And send them a text every once in a while and tell them that you're praying for them and that you love them. And don't forget, stay afterwards, Ozone. Stay here, they're feeding us and they're treating us. So they're wanting to just appreciate everything that we do for them. And well, hey, we appreciate what they do too. So stay and just share with them, okay? If they need to, I don't know if they need to slip out or so, that we can let them go ahead and slip out. But we'll bless the food and we'll bless our time. No services tonight. But remember, we are Wednesday night. We'll be back Wednesday night. And if there's anything that comes up, we'll let y'all know. But other than that, let's just enjoy a little bit of fellowship together and in the Lord's house. So, Bob.